Let the church say amen. God has been good to us, and even though we're going that way, He's allowed us to still be here. I realize the audience is a little skimpy this morning, but you know what? I look back at the lesson from the Bible class this morning, and there were two, Philip and the eunuch, and they had a service. He preached Jesus to the eunuch, and the eunuch was converted. So it doesn't take a lot. We would like to have a lot, but it doesn't always take a lot to get God's Word out. So rest assured this morning that the Word of God will be preached just the same. This morning we're so happy to see everyone as we come into another Lord's Day, and God is good always and all the time God is good. It's good to see those of you who are here this morning, and I wanted to point out just, we have at least a couple of guests in the audience, but I wanted to point out Brother Mobley is in the audience this morning, and Brother Mobley has spoken here for us before. So we want to welcome him back to be in the audience with us this morning. So let us continue to pray for each and every one, and let us continue to pray for the sick. Let us go to God in prayer. O righteous and wonderful Heavenly Father, it is through your grace and your mercy that we are here this morning. You got us up from our sleeping and slumbering last night. You gave us an opportunity to eat our breakfast this morning, and then you gave us clothes to cover our bodies that we may come out from our house to your house. We thank you this morning, O Heavenly Father, for those who are in the audience, and we pray for those who chose not to be here, either by their own choosing or because they had to work or even because they are sick. So we're praying this morning, Father, for those who are here. Especially we pray for those who are in the audience with us this morning. And we're praying for our leaders here this morning as well. We're praying for their families. And we're also praying for those brethren who have had a part in the services thus far. And we pray for those who shall come from this point on. We pray this morning, O Heavenly Father, for the sick and the shut-in, praying that if it be thy will, that you would heal them. But if not, O Heavenly Father, we pray that they just be able to know that you are there for them nevertheless. Thanking you, O Heavenly Father, for those who are grieving this morning because of the loss of a loved one. We thank you, O Heavenly Father, for giving them strength that they may be able to survive their loss. We pray this morning, Father, for those who are behind prison bars, and we thank you, O Heavenly Father, that they may survive, and we are praying especially for those who are innocently behind prison bars. We pray this morning, O Heavenly Father, for those who are serving in our armed forces all over the world. We pray that soon they may all go home and come home. We thank you this morning, Father, for those who are in rule over the lands of the world. We pray and ask you, Father, that they not hinder us or make any laws hindering us from serving thee in spirit and in truth. We thank you this morning, O Heavenly Father, for each and every member that's here. And we pray, O Heavenly Father, that if some may still be on their way, that you give them safe passage. We pray for those who may be in travel mode this morning, that they may have safe passage to and from their destination, and as soon as possible, that they would be safely brought back to us once again. Father, we ask all of these blessings in the name of the one who marched up the hill, hung on yonder's cross, gave up his life, and died on our behalf. We thank you, O Heavenly Father, in his name. Let us all say amen. This morning, we're going to speak from Revelation chapter 2 in the verses number 1 through 7, and we'll revisit those texts in a little while. But this morning, some of you may be able to see the comparison of in our text where it speaks of leaving one's first love. How many of you can go back, if you can remember back that far for some of us, how many of you can remember that grade school crush that you had on someone in grade school? And how that when that person had interest in someone else, how that it broke your heart, your first heartbreak, your first true heartbreak, so you thought. But yet we went on, and little did we know that as we grow up and grow older, we're going to have to handle much harder challenges than what we faced in grade school. Here in the text, we find Jesus speaking of leaving our first love. He wants us to remember where we came from in order that we may know where we and what we need to do to get to where He is. As we review that this text this morning, we find Jesus speaking regarding this local congregation. And this morning, this local congregation was the church of Ephesus. This morning, let us look at several points here this morning. The first point, we want to look at the character of this church. We find from the text that it was a working church because Jesus said so in verse number 2. Look what He said. He says, "I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou cannot bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars." He said, "I know their works." What a good thing it would be for Jesus Christ to pronounce or to commend the church on its workings. What a wonderful thought this congregation must have had if Jesus pronouncing His commendation, His commending this church. "I know thy works," He said. And then He said, "I know thy labor and thy patience." He said, "I know all about what you're going through." Every church should strive to be a laboring church and most of all have patience. This tells us that this church was hardworking and was not easily discouraged, for the Bible said it had patience. It also lets us to know that this was a church that did not put up with evil. "Thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and they are not, and have found them liars." When the ground of truth is challenged, the church must be able to stand and to withstand. That is, they should be in a position to challenge those things and the ones who are not right. This hard-working, hard-fighting church was the church at Ephesus, or the church of Ephesus, of whom Jesus was speaking of. And when you look at this matter a little closer, when you think about it, all of the churches should be working churches. But first, we've got to learn to get along with one another. We've got to learn to get along with one another before we can become a working church. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and the verse is number 25. "There shall be no schism in the body, but that all members should have the same care one for another." In other words, let us not be divided. We should all be for one Lord, one God, one faith, one church, and one baptism. Then in verse number 27 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the Bible says, "Now you are the body of Christ and members in particular." The main reason the church should be a working church is because the church is the bride of Jesus. And in Ephesians chapter 5, in the verses number 25, the Bible says, "Husband, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it." The work of the church is important, and we need to make sure it's being done, and we need to make sure it's being done right. Because we are believers, and as believers, we should care about the bride of Christ. Any man that does not care about his wife, then something is very wrong. Ephesians 5 and 25 tell husbands to love your wives as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. Then in verse number 28, it continues in the same vein. It says, "So ought the men love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loves himself." And this needs to be brought to the attention of every man every so often. And ladies, I'll get to you another time. I'll get to your part another time. But men need to learn how to treat their wives so that they can know how to understand and treat the church. So when I think about it, and I look at this matter just a little closer, look at verse number 2 again. The Bible says, "I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou cannot bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them to be liars," or "hast found them liars." I wanted to get this part straight with the church this morning. First of all, the heads of all the household, the head is of the household is the man, and the man needs to learn, he must know how to treat his wife in order that he may lead by example. And that's what Christ does with the church. He leads by example. When I think about it, and I move on to another point, Jesus had a fault with this church. Speaking as a member of the body and as a preacher myself, how good and how much joy it would be if Jesus praised this congregation just like he praised the church at Ephesus in verse number 2. But Jesus did have a complaint against the church. Look at verse number 4. He says, "Nevertheless, I have something against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." I'll tell you something this morning, church. Jesus is concerned because many of us in many churches have left our first love. What do you mean, Lord? We're bringing in more people. We built a new structure to worship in. So why, Lord, do you find fault with the church? And I'll tell you why. You can build a new structure because you have more people does not mean the church is growing. Numerically, you may have more people, but it doesn't mean the church is growing in love toward Jesus Christ. What good is it to add 100 people in a year, but then there's no love in the church for Jesus Christ? The church may be growing numerically, but how about the love? In many churches have become too big and too large to remember why we come together on Sunday morning. They think we come together on Sunday morning to do social services. They think we come together on Sunday morning to plan for our social gathering. But that's not the reason why we come to church on Sunday morning. The reason we come to church on Sunday morning is to worship God in spirit and in truth. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And we've got to get back to the old ways. You know, the Bible speaks in the Old Testament of following the old path. Well, I believe in today's society, we still have to stick with the old path. We have to learn to love Jesus and project that love out to others. I may be doing a disservice when I don't do what God has asked us to do. And you may be doing a disservice when you don't serve the Lord in spirit and in truth. Look at the text again in verse number 4. He says, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." Oh, and what a feeling it is to lose that first love. You know what I'm talking about. When that first love is the greatest thing you think that's in your heart, but some kind of way you have lost that first love. You ought to say, "I've been there and done that," if you know what I'm talking about this morning. You ought to acknowledge that you know what I'm talking about. We come together on Sunday to provide spiritual teaching and some spiritual guidance for those who are standing in a lost way. And then also, we come together because there are many of us who are bred Christians and deeply rooted Christians, or so we think we are and so we say we are. But some of us have forgotten the basic concept of serving the Lord in spirit and in truth. And so we come together, and every so often it needs to be repeated. And when you learn to do better, you ought to do better. Isn't that right? Men work themselves sometimes so hard to provide for their families, but then they sometimes forget. They sometimes forget to give them the thing that they need the most, and that is love. So it is with our churches. We have become so big that we have put Jesus on the back burner. But the Bible says in James chapter 2 and verse number 20, faith without works is dead. We got to have faith in who are we? We are supposed to have faith in Jesus Christ, not in the dollar that's in your wallet. And I know that many folks love the dollar more than they love Jesus Christ. We can't love the Lord without faith. And neither can we please Him without faith. The church sometimes gets caught up in trying to be the biggest one in the neighborhood or the biggest one in town, if you will. And then we forget that mission that we are here to bring the lost to Christ, to teach them, to help them to understand that the road to heaven comes through the church. There, if you don't get in the church, how are you going to know the pathway that you're supposed to take? Then, when you think about it, it's great to have a beautiful building. I'm not knocking a beautiful building. I would love to see a beautiful structure in the church that I attend. And we have a beautiful building at this structure, but I'm not talking in particular about this congregation. But I'm speaking in general that it's nice to have a big, nice building to worship in. It's nice to have a parking lot that's full of cars and an assembly hall that's full of people. But what good is that when we are not teaching love toward one another or toward Christ? So the Church of Christ, we have become tied up with our fundraisers and our social activities. And now don't get me wrong, these are good ventures. But neither should it take the, it should never take the place of loving one another and loving Jesus Christ. So Christ told the church once again, he said, thou hast left, he said, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. When you leave your first love, it's hard to get that back again. You know, the magic of the first love, and I know I'm speaking of two different kind of love, but the love of that young man that he has for that young lady that he wants to be his everything. He promises her everything. He promises her that he'll reach to the sky and pull a star out of the sky and place it on a crown on her head. But then we all know that that's not true, but that's his love. We ought to love Christ in the same way. We ought to have a deep love for Jesus Christ. He said, so thou, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. But look at verse number 5 as we continue on. A church that leaves its first love, no matter how much work they are doing, no matter how many people they are helping, they must come back to Jesus. We must stay with Jesus Christ. So in verse number 5, we want to look at our last point. There was a warning to this church. Look at verse 5. He says, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. So in verse number 5, he wants us to do a couple of things. He wants us to remember, first of all, and then he wants us to repent. He was not accusing this church of stealing. He was not accusing the church of immorality or any of those kind of things. What he was speaking about was their love toward him had grown cold. Whenever the church allows this behavior, the other things are not far behind. When you leave your first love, you forget about other things and you start drifting away. And when you start drifting away, the church begins to float sometimes with you. You know, it's one thing when the brothers disagree on some things. But when they settle it peacefully through the Bible, through the biblical text of the Bible, then that's all right. We're not always going to be lovey-dovey and chummy all the time. But we can go to the Bible as our mediator. And when we can do that, we're doing all right. We have let our first love come back to us once again. So he was not accusing this church of total immorality. They had just allowed their love toward him to grow cold. And repentance means to turn away from that which has caused one to sin in the first place. Leave that life behind. Repentance means that one is to become sorrowful for his, one should become sorrowful for their actions or their sins. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 9 and 10, the Bible says, I rejoice that you were made sorry, but that you sorrowed to repentance. You were made sorry after a godly manner. But then in verse 10 it says, for godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation. In other words, don't be sorry because you got caught. Be sorry because you really want to change things. You want to turn around. I know folk that like to repent every so often. They like to come up to the front of the church. And again, I'm not talking about anybody here, so don't say accuse me of stepping on your toe. But if I did, I'm sorry and I'm going to keep going. But some folk like to every now and then confess and bring to the church that I have sinned. And I ask God to forgive me and I ask the church to pray for me. But are you really repenting or are you just reporting? You got to know the difference between reporting and repenting. The difference between reporting is simply saying, I want to let you know I had a problem on last week. But repenting is saying, I had a problem, but I have turned away from that problem. And I'm moving on, and I'm moving up in toward the Lord. My body, my spirit is moving up toward the Lord. In Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 5 again, he says, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent. And do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of its place. And somebody might say, well, preacher, he goes on to tell the church to repent, or he would remove the candlestick. So, preacher, what is the candlestick? Well, I'm so glad you asked that. Look over in Revelation chapter 1 in the verses number 20, and it'll tell you what the candlestick is. It says, the mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. So the candlestick is the church, represents the churches. The seven candlesticks represent the church. Even though the church may draw its crowds, even though the building may be magnificent, if it is not worshiping in spirit and truth, if it's not the love of God, if the love of God has grown cold, it's not pleasing unto the Lord. It's not pleasing unto the Lord unless the church repents. Notice what's in store for those who repent. This is the good part, church. When you repent, look at verse number 7. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. To him that overcome will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Here is the promise of mercy given not to one church, but notice the plural use of the word, the churches. He was speaking to the churches throughout the ages. And he was speaking then to the seven churches. But now he speaks through the Bible to us as well. We as Christians must wage our war against sin throughout our lifetime. You know, some folk think as soon as I get past one situation I have, I get right into another situation. But you can't do that. You got to stop and repent of all of your situations. And when another occurs, you got to stop that one, turn around, and repent of that one as well. And once again, repentance means to turn away from that that's causing you to sin. We've got to do that throughout our lifetime. And those who endure shall receive the right to the tree of life in the midst of the garden, in the midst of the paradise of God. Truly then, church, we shall be able to understand the words of that song that says, won't it be wonderful there? Won't it be wonderful there? When we sing that song, and I like how folk, when they get to singing a song that they really like, they began to emphasize the words a little more. They began to think on their own life, I believe, sometimes. They began to say to themselves, it really will be wonderful when I get there. And that's how you ought to think, when I get there. When I get there, because the reason that you are here is because you want to get there. And if I want to get there, I've got to make some preparations while I can. You can't be like the rich man and Lazarus and say, I want you to go back. You can't repent then. You've got to do it right here, right now, while your blood is still running warm in your body. And I remember how great it was when I go back. I was going to throw this in there anyway. It just happened to be that the Bible school lesson was about it. But I remember how that eunuch, how joyful he was as he was riding along in his chariot. As he was riding along in his chariot and reading from that book of Isaiah, talking about Jesus. But I like it because he didn't know who the man was that he was reading about. How can a man understand except he knows, has somebody to interpret it to him? And how can they hear without the preacher? Oh, I like that part. I like that part. But here's what I want us to know. That one day, and it won't be long, we're not going to be here anymore. We're not going to be here anymore, and we need to learn to do what we need to do in order to serve Jesus righteously while we are here. And I know that some of us, especially some of us that are young, we think we've got all the time in the world. We don't know when the Lord may call us. And so we need to be right and ready whenever He calls us. Being right is getting right with God. Being ready is getting your house in order. Because you don't know when that time may come that you will be called. You don't know how long before God says it's time for you to come home. You don't know when the Lord may say, ask you to stand before the judgment and ask you about all the things that you did in this life. But one thing I do know is this, that we have a righteous judge who will judge us in the end. I may not be right, you may not be right, but we have a righteous judge who will judge us in the end. And then when he said, I'll grant unto you, he'll give us these things from the tree of life in the midst of the garden, in the midst of paradise. Oh, how wonderful that will be. No more worrying about in the morning when I get up what I'm going to eat. No more worrying in the morning about when I get up what am I going to wear. No more concerning myself about how this day will go, because it will all be God's will how this day will go in paradise or in heaven. And I plan on getting there. I plan on seeing all of you all there. And if you're planning it right, you'll be looking for me when you get there, as I'll be looking for you when I get there. And we don't know which one of us may go first, but we all have the same mind that we want to get there. And in order to get there, we got to remember that what Jesus said. He said, I know thy works. In other words, he knows each and every one of us. He knows what we're doing, when we're doing, how we're doing, and why we're doing. And when you think about it, that's more than mortal man can ever know. But God knows. I haven't seen anything that God can't do. I have never known anything that God has promised us that He can't fulfill for us. And when man says, I can't do it anymore, God says, just let me have it. And He'll fix it. And I tell you, church, God is all right. When I think about how beautiful heaven must be, it makes me think even more of going there. It makes me think how wonderful it will be there. But you first got to get right down here. You can't live wrong down here and think you're going to be right, get right up there. So how do we get right down here? Well, the first thing we must do is become a member of the Lord's body. How do I become a member of the Lord's body? Well, it comes by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. But what if, once I become a member of the Lord's body, I go astray? And you know, going astray is fairly easy if you're not careful. If I go astray, I can still have the opportunity to come back to the Lord. I can come back to the Lord by going to Him and asking for His forgiveness, and then coming before the church and asking the church to pray with me and for me, that I may grow stronger, that I may turn away from those things that have hindered me in the past. So if this is your desire, as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.